nowhere to run, nowhere to stay. There's no way to escape the spray planned for San Francisco and many, many, many other urban areas in the 12 counties surrounding the Bay Area. This is Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon here on KPOO 89.5 San Francisco, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, spirit, community, all six areas of the Healthful Living Model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified medical and clinical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and most importantly, I'm an advocate for Healthful Living, and I'm here today with my co-host,
Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant, and I am also with Healthful Living.
And today we have several guests on the show. We're going to be revisiting. We've sort of taken it on personal mission here to cover this light brown apple moth issue because it just seems so paramount for each and every one of us citizens here in San Francisco and throughout the greater Bay Area, or really anywhere on planet Earth where we've got a major issue at hand here where something is planned that is not safe for us. It's not effective what they're planning to do, and it's just simply not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to really understand what's being done to protect us on this issue and really just get to the bottom line so we can stop this ludicrousy.
Absolutely. So we've done a couple shows already on this topic. It's called LBAM, or the light brown apple moth, and it's all about the pesticide spraying. They want to do major aerial pesticide spraying over areas of cities of San Francisco, Oakland, Tiburon, Daly City, all over the Bay Area. They're going to be doing these pesticide sprayings, and they're going to be doing them several times a month. Month after month after month for 9 months of the dry season, year after year after year for 2 to 5 or more years in an attempt to eradicate this moth. And so we've talked in the past of it not being safe, of the pheromones not being tested, the reactions to people in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties who have already had problems from these. The, quote, inert ingredients that are supposed to be, you know, people often think of them as inert and harmless, but they are absolutely very toxic, actually. And as well as the ground spraying and all of its damaging effects from those pesticides. So this is a serious issue. So it's definitely not been proven safe. It is actually, many of the chemicals have been proven and shown to be actually very harmful to our health. We know that it's not effective because, according to a lot of scientists, including Dr. James Carey, who we had on a couple weeks ago, he said that he believes it's impossible to eradicate this moth, as well as all of his colleagues. None of them believe that it's possible to eradicate the spray, to eradicate the moth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be effective. In fact, the more pesticide spraying they do, depending on what they do, there is more chance that they're going to do what happened in New Zealand, where they kill off the predators, and who knows, we may even have a worse problem, not a better problem, after spraying all these pesticides. And finally, and I think the most important point here, is it's not effective.
Yeah.
You know? And finally, really, I want to say actually it's not necessary, because people don't realize that this bug actually hasn't even caused any damage. That's the big piece, that it's just not necessary. You know, there's no damage to the crop. There's no damage to the plant itself. There has been no reported damage in California. So it's finally not necessary. So this, to all those of us that are here thinking they're going to spend $30 to $80 million to spray massive toxins over huge urban areas to kill something that is not eradicatable and is not causing harm.
And we all should know by now that preemptive strikes do not work. Do not work. And with all the intrusion we've had into our health and well-being over the past number of years, whether it's invasion into our financial privacy or craziness at the airport security stuff or the quality of our food degradation and chemicals everywhere, I mean, this is real. I mean, we have to imagine our warm, late Indian summer nights that we have here, especially in San Francisco, right? And actually imagine looking up and seeing a low-flying plane flying right overhead spraying chemicals. Children running inside.
Pouring pesticides over people's
Now,
head.
I know that you, Julie, put an article up at nourishinghope.com specifically about pesticides and autism, because you do a lot of work with autism,
right,
and how this would affect
the
children.
Well, this is the scary part. There's been a study that showed that pesticides sprayed or exposure of pregnant women to pesticides in weeks 0 through 8 have been associated with increased risk of autism. So that's actually a study that has proven that. And that doesn't even tell us what all the other effects during pregnancy. What are all the effects to these children? What are all these toxins going to do? What about all these kids with asthma? Mm. I think it's, what is it? I'm not going to fail to say effectively how many kids these days have asthma, but it's an enormous amount. And, you know, we're looking at all of these kids really potentially having some harm. There were a couple children in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties that really almost died. They were in critical emergency care. So this is a serious, serious issue. And most of the people that we've talked about so far, the first reaction they had was, we can't even believe. They said, no, you're mistaken. They would never spray pesticides over large urban areas. You know, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Everyone said that. And then they did research and said, oh, boy, you're right. This is crazy.
But not one person I've spoken to has even taken the default perspective that sometimes people fall back into, which is, oh, I guess they know what they're doing. And, oh, I guess it's just, you know, that sort of default that we go into when we're kind of full of fear. We don't really know what's going on. We just assume that the authorities know what's going on.
I guess,
but nobody I've spoken to has even fallen back into that. They've all just gone, you're kidding. Seriously? Really?
Right.
So let's go to our first guest who's on the line. We have Paul Schramsky. He's of Pesticide Watch. And Paul has really been on the front lines of this issue since its onset. And we're going to hear what's going on lately in the state level with the legal issues and such. So let's see if he's on the line. Paul, are you with us?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for joining us, Paul. So what's the latest? What's happening legislatively? Is there something going to block this? Are they still proceeding full steam ahead?
Well, unfortunately, the state is still proceeding full steam ahead. I think we chatted on the last show I was on about the governor's efforts to delay the spray for some temporary testing, some very superficial testing. But the spray is still going forward. The state is now saying around October 1st, but there are no protections for the residents of the San Francisco Bay Area from spraying post-August 17th. So really the date in folks' minds should be August 17th going forward. The governor and the California Department of Food and Agriculture have made up their mind that spraying is going to go forward, so they will do the basic testing to make sure that can take place. So really, we're stuck in a position where I think state officials are not reflecting the concerns of Californians. And I think, as you just mentioned, you know, we now have over 28,000 people have signed a petition online opposing the spray. Over 30 cities and counties throughout Northern California have passed resolutions opposing the spray. Over 80 environmental, health, and civic organizations have passed resolutions opposing the spray. Incredible opposition, and yet the state isn't responding.
Wow.
And so sort of looking at the other arenas, we did, I think on the last show, also mention that we've won two lawsuits that would actually protect the folks in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties by forcing an environmental impact review. So this is the sort of report that has to be done on any sort of issue that has an environmental impact before a large government project takes place. Unfortunately, this is only for Monterey and Santa Cruz counties, and we don't have any of those protections in place for any of the counties in the San Francisco Bay Area. So again, August 17th should be the date in mind of folks are not protected beyond that date. And then if you look at the legislative arena, we've been pushing three legislative proposals, three bills through the legislature that would provide greater information, greater disclosure of pesticide ingredients, and greater pesticide or greater participation from folks around pesticide spraying issues, but all in the future. So this is Assemblymember Huffman, Assemblymember Laird, Assemblymember Leno. All have bills as well as a resolution from from Senator Migdon. All have pieces going forward that are important to support. But again, they don't take effect until January 2009. So we have no immediate protections. So I think at this point, folks should be kind of frightened that government hasn't stood up to protect and respond to the concerns of Californians. Now, where government has failed, Californians have stood up. As we talked about before, the sheer number of citizens groups that have been created and swelled up around this are incredible. The movement of people in opposition to the spray program is insurmountable. Mm. Just this weekend, Sunday, June 8th in Sausalito, we're hosting Stop the Spray Live. We have folks like Bob Weir, Maria Muldaur, other really great musicians, with Peter Coyote hosting the event, all sending the message to the Schwarzenegger administration that we need to stop the spray today. Mm. And that movement of musicians is growing. Just yesterday, Bonnie Raitt signed on to oppose the spray. Really, it's a incredible movement, diverse movement of soccer moms and high school students, musicians, just a truly incredible coalition of environmental and health groups all swelling up and saying, we want a pesticide-free future in California, and this is the first step. We will stop this spray. We will protect ourselves. It's not safe. It's not necessary. It's not effective. And, hey, it's not right.
Mm. So, you know, you mentioned all of these people opposed to it and all of this stuff that's going on, and then in the next breath said, oh, yeah, but the state's doing nothing. I mean, I guess I don't even know what to do with all of that. I mean, where do we go from here? What can we do? Is there any way to get through to the state, or is that the wrong avenue?
No, I think that's right. Ultimately, the state is one authority that can stop this. They can stop the immediate spray plan. And at the federal level, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has the decision about whether or not this is an emergency pest. Mm-hmm. So they can reclassify this pest so it's not the same emergency. So that helps us in the long run. But to immediately stop the spray right now, the governor needs to hear the message from Californians in letters and emails and phone calls and faxes, really, that he needs to stop the spray today. And that's what we're sending to him. And folks should take that time to send the message to him today. And then secondly, folks can actually create greater protections for their own communities by calling on their local city and county attorneys to actually pass suits, as they did in Monterey and Santa Cruz, to actually protect them. So pass suits that require an environmental impact report be done prior to any spray program. Mm-hmm. Now, this doesn't solve the long-term problem, but it does create some temporary protections for communities while we continue to build that broad coalition of opposition to the governor's spray program.
Right. Mm.
Now, evidently, we need to send our messages to the governor in very large font, very large type, and very loudly, because apparently common sense is not prevailing anywhere in the immediate forefront. Now, I spoke this morning with Matt Dorsey. He is the press secretary for City Attorney Herrera here in San Francisco. Because I was specifically asking, you know, why hasn't there been, you know, an injunction by the city of San Francisco? Why haven't we taken legal action? And the understanding I get from him is that, well, number one, this whole thing is a moving target, that we don't yet know what the next move is going to be from the state as far as their legal justification for doing this, and that the fact that Santa Cruz County and Monterey, they've taken action down there to protect themselves, that sets a precedent that would prevail in any other jurisdiction. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to explain this the right way, but essentially that the city is working with other jurisdictions, they're working with the environmental groups, they're putting pressure on the state, and they're essentially preparing to work collectively with other jurisdictions and not unilaterally to take some sort of action against the state. And I guess what my interpretation is that the sentiment there, the feeling there, is that there's going to be a greater action when a collection of jurisdictions take action against the state than individual jurisdictions. I don't want to speak for him, but this is what I kind of gleaned from that. He wanted us to know that they are expecting to have some sort of an announcement in the next few weeks about the city's legal intentions. And so that's just what I got from him this morning. And he definitely said that there's never a disadvantage to being heard, and that absolutely we should keep our voices high and our letters and emails out there as broadly and as often as we can. So that's what I got from the city attorney. I mean, I'd like to hear something more definitive, like, yes, we plan to sue the state. Yes, we plan to protect our citizens. But, you know, we don't always get exactly the words that we wish.
Paul, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I mean, I don't know if this is an area. I mean, this is a little out of my area, but I didn't know if you had any comments or thoughts based on his perspective?
Yeah, well, the attorney's right in some sense. It is a moving target. But in order to create immediate protections now, the city could easily pass one of these prepackaged suits that was passed in Monterey and Santa Cruz. I am fully in support of massive collaborative action. But in terms of creating many fires for the state to put out, in terms of creating greater protections immediately for San Franciscans, they could easily file a suit today. What I think he is implying is that if any of these suits are appealed in Monterey or Santa Cruz, which they likely will be, when those cases go to a court of appeals and we prevail, which I think we would, those implications of those suits would be to every county in the entire state of California. Now, when what those cases would actually be heard in an appeals court, who knows? Those dates haven't been set. But that could be the implication. My sense is, why not take the steps now, protect the people of San Francisco immediately, and pass one of these suits?
Right. I mean, that's my thinking. And he did convey to me, Matt Dorsey, that in his opinion, regarding the LBAM issue, that it's not going to be able to proceed in all likelihood. That was his opinion. Now, we also have here in the studio with us today, Daza Greenwood of civics.com. He is a technologist and videographer, and he has been working closely with the Stop the Spray organization here in San Francisco. He's involved with a number of different things, so it's welcome to the studio, Daza.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So do you have any thoughts on this whole thing we're hearing about the city of San Francisco, about, you know, what's going on with the legal side of it? Any thoughts about that?
I do. You know, part of the video work that we're cooking up in the San Francisco Stop the Spray group, which you can find out more about at sprayalert.org, are, first of all, some advocacy pieces that we'll put online on YouTube and allow all the groups to blast their lists on with easier information on each category. It's not safe. It's not necessary. It's not effective. And there's a fourth one that we're thinking about on the legal issue, and it's based on an insight that that there's some danger in an indefinite delay in seeking legal relief in San Francisco, along the lines that they were able to achieve in Monterey and in Santa Cruz. And the danger is that it may not occur, and that the spray will begin. And so the, you know, well, I think it's, you know, only civilized to take the mayor's office and Herrera's spokespeople at their word that they're looking into this, they're monitoring it, and that they intend to do something at some point. It occurred to us that there's a question about whether there wouldn't be an interim role or an initial role for citizen groups to get the ball started, as they have in so many other jurisdictions with public issues, and maybe you know, in coordination ideally with the government. But if the government isn't acting, and if necessary, then on the people's own behalf, to find an environmental watchdog group, other environmental attorneys to file for an injunction to stop the spray. And hopefully Herrera's office could take that over, could collaborate, or if they just never show up to work on this issue, at least then there would be an injunction. And then it's a good way to talk to the government about something they plan to do anyways, with an injunction in your hand, so that the beginning conversation is how they're not doing it. Now let's talk about how they want to, as opposed to the current dynamic, which is they're doing it. And, you know, petitions, rallies, and public sentiment is important, but with a recalcitrant government that may be, you know, less willing to change, it may be that an injunction would be the most important place to be putting emphasis now.
Well, it makes sense to me that we would take whatever action we can to protect ourselves going into any further dialogue. I mean, just to know, I mean, rather than, because, you know, historically they've waited to the last second to do something, and then by the time you can rally your own troops legally to respond, you know, you got, you know, 72 hours. And by then it's too late. And we've just seen too much of that kind of thing go on.
So it takes a certain amount of time to schedule the hearing, and then, of course, the government will have something to say at the hearing. Well, what are they going to say? Hard to know. You might want to have some time to respond to that. And so, meanwhile, the time's ticking. That I take the gentleman's caution that August 17th is the date to really keep an eye on here in San Francisco and the other unprotected environments. And I'd be interested to hear, without putting the gentleman on the spot, if he has any insight into the possibility of getting things started on the legal front in the unprotected cities, or whether that would, you know, perhaps overall be more confusing or detrimental to the cause.
Right.
Well, we're going to take about a very quick musical break here, because we have Frank Eggers on the line. He is the former mayor of Fairfax, and he's also been very much on the front line. And I understand he was at a meeting a couple days ago and has some really up-to-date information. So we're just going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back with Reality Sandwich. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. This is Reality Sandwich, and I'm Martin Matthews. I'm here with my co-host, Julie Matthews. You can get this show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com, and you can read more about Julie and I at healthfulliving.org. Today we're speaking about the light brown apple moth issue and ensuing pesticide aerial spraying and invasion of our health and well-being. And we have next on the line Frank Eggers. Frank, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you for joining us again. You were on the show with us about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you are the former mayor of Fairfax, and you've been very involved in a number of things. So if you can just give folks a quick rundown of what's been going on in your world.
Sure, sure. I'm one of the Bay Area coordinators to stop this, stop the spray. And this past weekend on Saturday, we held the bridge walk. Mm-hmm. We had a protest bridge walk and a rally. We put almost 1,000 people on the bridge.
Wow!
And it was spectacular day, even though it was foggy and cold. We had huge numbers. After we left the bridge, we went down at noon for a rally at Crissy Field, and about 400 of the folks came down to the rally. Of course, not everybody on the bridge came down to the rally. We had a great rally with wonderful speakers and a hot band, and we really got folks up on the issue. It's everywhere we go and tell folks what's going on. At first, it's like they don't believe it, and then when it kind of sets in, they go, what can I do to help? So as we alert more and more people, they're coming on board, and they're helping. It's just it's a grassroots effort. It's coming from the bottom up, not the top down.
Now, you had a meeting the other day with the city attorney? I mean, I was kind of secondhand. So.
There was a meeting in Pacific Heights Monday. And it included two pediatricians, and Dr. Harder and Dr. Carey, the two UC science people. And there was about 130 residents of the Heights there. And Dennis Herrera came in, and he had his deputy, Danny Chu, also was there. And you know, we talked about the issues and where it's all going. Of course, the city and county of San Francisco is looking at possible litigation, and their concern was similar to other attorneys that are looking at is the issue is not quite ripe yet. And the problem is the CDFA and USDA have not signed a contract for the planes. They've not signed a contract for the aerial spray, and they're playing this very close to the vest. So, you know, we're waiting for them to do something so we can go after them in court.
So, yeah, tell us, those of us that don't have anything to do with the law and don't really get it, what does it mean that it's not ripe, and why do we have to wait for these contracts and things, and can they squeeze the contract through at the last second and then we're stuck later? I mean, it sounds like a lot of funny business to me, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, you know, it's the way our system works. In order to sue someone, they have to do something to you or about to do something to you. I mean, you know, you want to enjoin them. And the CDFA and USDA are very cagey. We've made up a Freedom of Information Act request on them. We've done a Public Records Act request on them. And we get very little information. You know, we may have to go into court and have a judge order them to give us the information that we're asking for. You know, we're not asking for anything that's top secret. This is all supposedly public information. They say they're testing. It was a week ago Monday. I was at the San Bruno City Council meeting, and the CDFA was there. They had three of their experts down there, and they said that they're carrying out the governor's six-pack tests. The governor announced there'd be a temporary hold on the spring until they did some further testing, and he called it the six-pack testing. They announced they've tested three of the four formulations. 18 of 24 tests have been completed, and there's absolutely no problem. This stuff's completely safe. The problem is they're not telling us what they're testing, and they're not telling us who's testing it. It's like, you remember in the old days you'd go to the to the drive-in hamburger place and used to get the hamburger with the secret sauce.
Right.
And you never found out what that secret sauce was. You know, it tasted good, but you didn't know quite what it was. It's like there's a secret sauce for this spray. I mean, we don't know what it is. If they at least told us what they were testing, if they gave us the active and the inert ingredients, we could, you know, do some of our own research. Mm. But we have no idea what they're even testing.
Wow.
It's like a secret ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're kind of at their mercy to a degree. And the issue of being, you know, again, ripe, as Dennis Herrera said, it's not quite ready yet. And we can't go into court prematurely because if we go into court and we don't have all the information, all our I's dotted and T's crossed, the judge is going to say, you know, what are you doing here? You're wasting the court's time. So that's why lawsuits haven't been filed up here in the Bay Area.
Hmm.
And there are a number of people looking at it. I'm also the president of the North Coast Rivers Alliance, and we will be one of the named plaintiffs against the CDFA and the USDA. And we, like everyone else, we're waiting for the trigger to be pulled by the CDFA and USDA. The city of Oakland is also, I've met with their contract attorney, and the city of Oakland is in discussions with the city of Emeryville and the city of Berkeley and the city of San Francisco, and they're all looking at their options here. But no one's filed yet. The Earth Justice is also looking at it. CATS, which is an anti-pesticide group up in the Arcata area, is looking at it. So, you know, there's a number of attorneys looking to take it on.
Dazza, did you have any comments or questions?
Yes. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Dazza Greenwood. Some of the conversations in the San Francisco group organized to stop the spray, they were the folks that the Marin group collaborated with this past weekend on that successful bridge march.
Yes.
Been really deeply concerned by the continued inaction on the legal front, only because, you know, August 17th's coming closer than it used to be. It's June already, and, you know, it takes a while to get the hearings, and surprises can happen where you have to regroup and so forth.
Oh, absolutely.
So the question that we had was whether it might not be a good idea in this case to maybe accelerate the process a little bit by beginning to file for an injunction, just based on the fact it is imminent. There'd be a showing of harm. It could be a very credible, not frivolous suit, obviously, which could be amended as more and more damaging evidence, as it doubtlessly will, comes out. But what would you think about the possibility of having one or more citizen groups begin the process by at least getting a court date and filling out the form and starting an injunction?
Well, what will probably happen if there are multiple lawsuits filed is that some of them are going to be consolidated. To go into court prematurely and, in effect, have it, say, thrown out would kind of damage some of our credibility here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're cautious about that. You know, we don't want to waste the judge's time. At the same time, we don't want these planes to fly. The North Coast Rivers Alliance is fairly well positioned to take them on. At the proper time. We've been working on this now for 3 months. This is nothing new to us at all. Some of the other attorneys and law firms have come on board, you know, more recently, and they're getting themselves up to speed, and they're getting up to speed very, very quickly. But the North Coast Rivers Alliance is there.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes, that's good. Well, and we appreciate that. You know, public radio is not the time to do litigation tactics,
sure,
naturally, but
sure.
Just for the purpose of at least enriching the conversation, but also highlighting what the echoes are in the streets. There's consternation and concern about the delay in getting started, just because when you get into the litigation, as prepared and confident as we may be, you know, surprises can happen.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not ripe is true. When some years ago, I was a government lawyer myself in the East Coast, and sometimes it's not ripe until it's moot. You know, it's too late then. So it's, you know, if you have to, I encourage you and other decision makers to take another close look at accelerating the legal process.
Yeah, in order to sue the government, you have, there's certain prerequisites. You just can't go into court and, you know, so it's, we're all on them. And I know at that Monday meeting there was some concern expressed because no one has filed yet.
If you guys need help filling out the form or something,
that's not it.
I'm just kidding. I know, but thank you for indicating that. I'll tell you, I'll certainly bring that back to the San Francisco group too. That it sounds like there's capable people that are on it, and that when the moment is right, you'll have the most comprehensive beginning point you can. But hopefully, let's not let the ideal and the perfect be the enemy of the good, and hopefully, we can get this judicial process started in a timely fashion, even if it isn't completely perfect. I'm not licensed to practice in California, goodness knows, but from what injunction work I've done in the past, it certainly seems to me that a very credible showing of harms, of imminence, and the other requirements could be shown soon. So without getting any deeper into that, with a lot of respect to the people who are already on this issue, I know it's all of our hopes that we can continue on, not just with political and an administrative and a public relations push, but also with the judicial sword and shield as needed.
Look, you know, it's going to get real interesting. The two lawsuits that were recently decided in Santa Cruz and Monterey had been filed last year, so it took that long, you know, to get the trial. And the CDFA and USDA are under court order not to spray Santa Cruz. The order hasn't been released for Monterey County yet, but it'll be the same. So the CDFA will be under court order from two counties not to spray. And in their 2008-2009 action plan for LBAM, they announced that they'll be spraying down there in those two counties starting August 17th. It's October 1st in the San Francisco Bay Area, but August 17th down there. And it's going to get real interesting, because if they make an attempt to spray down there, I see those judges issuing contempt of court citations immediately. They're not going to fool around with them. And it's kind of reckless on the part of the CDFA to even announce that they're going to spray down there starting August 17th. You know, the San Francisco Bay Area, we've got till October 1st, but that's it. As you said earlier, it's coming up on us, no doubt. But it's kind of a moving target. You know, it was going to be June 1st and August 1st. And it's set back to August 17th and October 1st. You know, we feel it's time. We feel it's time to stop them.
Well, my concern here, as a citizen of San Francisco, and as a healthful living advocate, and as somebody for whom I desire a significant personal fertility in my near future, I see this thing coming, you know, I see the sneakiness. I see the, you know, articulation that, oh, yeah, we're doing the studies, and, yeah, we've got 18 to 24 things done in miraculous time, and all this, for lack of a better way of putting it, BS stuff that's being shoved at us, and I'm really feeling attacked. I'm feeling personally attacked by these organizations that want to do something that I have seen such blatant information that tells me those three things that we'll just keep saying over and over again, that it's not safe, it is not effective, and it's absolutely not necessary, yet I see these people steamrolling and continuing to tell me that they're going to do it anyway. I have seen things in the past where, whether it's a government or a big business, and when the people are rallying behind something saying, look, we have a legal precedent here, we have a reason to stop this, and they go, well, yeah, so what, we're going to do it anyway, and then we get away with it, and then you continue to fight us later. And I don't want this, and I'm sure nobody wants this thing to just happen anyway. And with the whole legal thing, and I can't personally speak to what legal action needs to happen when and where. It's just that the sooner we hear that something's going on legally by the local jurisdictions that represent us, the more that the people will also be able to get behind this, realizing, okay, there's an alignment here.
Sure.
There's an alignment here between the people that are rising up and sending these emails and the local representatives who are saying, yes, we intend to protect you. That's what I want to hear, flat out. We intend to protect you, and we do not intend to have this happen in our space. We will not allow it. I mean, I don't know how they have to say it, but that's how I need to hear it.
Well, that's the message that we're trying to put out. You know, when we meet with groups, that's what we're telling them. We intend to stop it. We intend to not be sprayed. And you know, we all live right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm born and raised in San Francisco, and we're not going to allow it to happen. And I know folks may say, well, there's no lawsuit filed. How are they going to stop it? I spent 4 decades in public office as an elected official, and I've sat on local, state and federal boards and commissions, you know, for 4 decades, and the CDFA is either one of the most inept or one of the most arrogant public agencies I've ever dealt with.
Hmm.
I mean, it's beyond comprehension for me that a public agency could act the way they do.
Wow. Yeah, it's not comforting, I have to say. All right, it sounds like do we have someone on our line?
Yeah, we do. We have Nan Wishner who's just joined us on the line.
Great, great.
Oh, great.
I guess, is there at some point some contingency plan that if this doesn't, they don't put their cards on the table, they don't have whatever contracts or plans in place, is people planning to go ahead anyway at some point? Or are we just, you know, taking each day as it comes? I mean, is there some sort of a long-term plan going on?
Well, there is a plan. There is a plan. Yeah, and we're just not gonna announce it on the radio.
Yeah, sure. But at least people are aware that, you know, these things take time, and one way or another, we're going to do something and go from there.
Sure, I understand the impatience with the lack of so-called action, but you know, it's we're organized and it's coming together. You know, we've got groups in Sonoma going, and we've got groups in San Mateo County going, and we're reaching out to cities, and I think we're over 30 cities now passed no spray resolutions. We'll be at the I believe it's Brisbane City Council meeting next Monday night. In San Mateo County.
Great.
So we're moving forward.
That sounds
on two fronts.
That sounds great. So more and more people are finding out about this, it sounds, because one of my challenges was that when I would start telling people about this, they were appalled and didn't want to have this go on, but a lot of people didn't even know that it existed. So it sounds like more and more cities are finding out about this. And
well, they are. And, you know, unfortunately, the media is not keeping it on the front page, the print media.
Right.
You know, they'll run a story, and then they won't run anything for 2 weeks.
Right.
And when you call them, they say, oh, we ran a story a couple of weeks ago on that. And I, you know, we say, well, the clock is ticking here, and you need to be running stories every other day.
Right.
We need a countdown in your newspaper, countdown to the spray.
Mm. Yeah. We just had somebody call in who I just grabbed the phone real quickly, and they just kept going, why? Why are they steamrolling this thing? You know, we also have on the line now Nan Wishner. She's she's been very active out in the East Bay. She's on the task force over there in the city of Albany. Nan, are you with us?
I am with you. Hi, guys.
Hi there. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
So perhaps you can add some commentary on what's going on your side of the Bay and what you've been seeing on the front lines here.
What I've been seeing on the front lines, well, you know, I would echo what Frank is saying, that there was a bit of a quiescent period there in the press, and I'm sure you guys have all already talked about the events of the end of last week. I was off celebrating my birthday, but the 1,000 people on the Golden Gate Bridge and the passage of the Leno-Levis legislation and the issuing of that great analysis of the health risks by Dr. Ann Hayden. So those are big events from the end of last week. And then you're probably aware that a group of us in the East Bay sent a letter to Governor Schwarzenegger yesterday, concerned about this new strategy of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, who went out to the Central Valley and elicited a resolution of support for the spray program from a Central Valley farming community, a city there, and then held a forum, which was initially supposed to be closed to the press, but the press complained and it was open, so they did hold a closed-door press conference at the end. It was a forum, you know, really a sort of CDFA show about, you know, the spray and why it's so great, and really, you know, clearly suggests that there's a new strategy in place, which is to try to pit these Central Valley farming communities against the urban areas. I mean, it's really disturbing, you know, to see a Central Valley city effectively pass a resolution calling for the spray of an urban area. And, of course, I'm sure they didn't perceive it to be that gesture. But it's, and there was then a statement, I think Frank, if he's still on the line, might have been at the meeting at San Bruno, where the CDFA rep who was there said that one of the assistant CDFA secretaries was assisting these Central Valley cities in passing resolutions. And so that, to me, is a very ugly turn in this whole process, if that's true, a very divisive kind of maneuver on the part of the state to be trying to set the situation up like that, which I'm sure, you know, is in their minds a strategy in response to the fact that pretty much there is not, as far as I know, a city in the spray zone that supports the Alabama Eradication Program, and we have 30-some cities now that have passed and counties that have passed resolutions or voted to oppose it. So, you know, now they want to go line up ducks on their side, I guess.
Right. Well,
so that's a pretty disturbing event of the last couple of weeks.
What about, is there any talk about educating the people in the Central Valley about this?
Well, you know, it's tricky. I was thinking about this morning. You know, what would it be like if we had a bunch of folks from, I don't know, you know, Madera County show up at the Albany City Council meeting and say, you know, you guys just passed, I don't know, take your pick, you passed some kind of resolution about, you know, how to deal with water that has a profound effect on us, and we want to show you why you're wrong.
Right.
You know, it's a little awkward to go waltzing into somebody else's community to try to set them straight. I think that's, you know, to be able to make contact with folks out there who are interested, who are concerned, you know, who might be interested in engaging in a dialogue about this, to start a process, for sure. But I think, you know, it's easy to imagine that we can just go there and organize a forum and educate people, and, of course, they'll immediately see the wisdom of our side. And particularly a city council, you know, that's passed a resolution, public bodies don't easily back down from something they've taken a stand on. And obviously, you know, there was some alliance or connection there with the California Department of Food and Agriculture that, you know, facilitated this happening in the first place. So, yes, absolutely. There, I mean, we are very much engaged in a process of reaching out, but that's not the kind of strategy that bears fruit in a week, you know what I mean? It's not,
sure.
And it's not like we have, you know, branches of Stop the Spray in Fresno or whatever that can just immediately swing into action. As hard and slow as it's been, I mean, I heard you guys as I came on the line just talking about there are folks here who still don't even know about the spray.
Right, right.
You know, and those cities out there are not slated to be sprayed, and for that matter, most agricultural communities are quite used to pesticide and herbicide use.
Yeah.
So to them, it's also maybe not the shock that it is to us.
Right, and it might be a little insulting to them to say, oh, these pesticides you've been spraying on yourself for all these years, we don't, you know, I mean, I guess it might be a little hard for them to see the emergency of it. But at the same time, we had on Dr. Andrew Gutierrez a few, you know, a month or so ago, and he really is an expert in the moth in terms of the climate that it survives in, and it actually doesn't survive in hot climates. So the Central Valley is not really in danger of having large numbers of these moths. So, you know, I guess in those terms, I feel like education could be really helpful because, you know, what if they have cousins that live up in our Bay Area and family members up in the Bay Area, and, you know, I'm sure that they didn't find out any of those facts from the wonderful people of the state when they came in.
Well, interestingly enough, you are correct that the moth doesn't reproduce at temperatures. I think it's above 88 degrees and below 47 or below 45 and above 87. I never get the numbers quite right without looking at my little piece of paper. But, yeah, the reproduction stops, and so it's highly unlikely to thrive in the Central Valley. And there was actually an organic farmer at that hearing in Reedley who apparently said he'd been called a few days earlier by the governor's office asking him to support the spray, and he chose to go do his own research. Yeah, that was a sort of curious comment to me as well, that the governor would have called him. He chose to go off and do his own research and discovered exactly the information that you just cited, which is on the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. It's on the USDA website, this risk assessment that was done that says the moth, you know, doesn't survive in those temperatures, or doesn't reproduce in those temperatures. And his question, you know, to the Reedley City Council, or to the folks who were sponsoring this forum, which was the city of Reedley, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember the exact quote, but it's basically, why are you coming out here and stirring up fear in the Central Valley, you know, about a pest that isn't a threat?
Right.
So it's not like they didn't hear the information. And he talked about having, you know, gone up the road to the local, I forget whether it's a Cal State or a UC, and talked to the entomologist there to say, hey, you know, what's the skinny on this moth? And he got the real scientific information. It's one of the interesting things about this whole debate is, you know, we present all this science, and then CDFA says, well, you know, there's science, then there's science. We have science over here, too. And suddenly then science is sort of discredited, as if we can't even really talk about what the truth is anymore because, well, you know, respectable scientists could disagree. And so it becomes very difficult in that kind of a public arena. I mean, it's hard to educate people about the complexities of science. That's one of the, you know, tasks of modern life, is to try to communicate complex scientific concepts about all kinds of decisions. But, yes, I do agree with you that the information is important. It's just a question of how the information reaches folks out there. And for my money, if it comes from a farmer in that area, that's going to be 1,000% more effective than if it comes from me, you know, urban IBM task force chair, riding my horse out to the Central Valley to try to spread the good word.
Right.
You know?
Wow. Well, we need to get ready to wrap up here. I wanted to thank all of you for being on the line today and giving us a good update of what was going on.
Sure.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having us.
Frank Eggers, thank you so much. And Nan Wishner, we appreciate both of you joining us on the show. We're going to be covering this certainly in the coming weeks and months. And
yes, please let us know if you have any updates that you want us to talk about.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you for your hard work.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie and Martin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, Dazza, we have only a few minutes left here. We actually have to finish up at 5 of, but you had some really exciting things that you were working on, and we'd love for you to talk about those a little bit.
Thank you so much. Yes, one of the interesting approaches that the San Francisco Stop the Spray Group is pursuing with me and my company, civics.com, CIVICS.com, is the use of an open source free software component that we call Big Dialogue, which allows for large participatory dialogues on really any issue, but especially well suited for participatory public dialogues on, you know, on political and social questions. Okay, we've got the software designed to allow for not just, you know, tens of people, which is can be difficult in chat room or other online methods to organize, but we've designed it for, you know, hundreds of thousands or even millions or more, with filtering techniques, automated agents, and a few other little you know, magical nuances. We're able to organize that so you can actually see what's on the mind of a large population. So we're hoping to use this Big Dialogue system in a town meeting soon to allow large groups of people to indicate what their questions or comments are, filter the key questions to the top, and hopefully we'll be joined by people representing the administration at the state and federal level that can begin to respond, and we can shed some more light onto this.
Great, great. That's very needed. So people can find out about more about that at civics.com. And also BigDialogue.com?
Yes, civics.com. And as soon as we've as soon as we're ready to implement it for this, which will actually be our first public dialogue outside of labs, we've tested it at MIT and some other places on the technology side, that'll be available at BigDialogue.com.
Great. Well, thank you for doing all that work.
It's a pleasure. You know, I was born here in California, and I grew up in the East Coast. I'm only back a couple of years, and I love this land so much. Mm. May nothing bad ever happen to it.
Let's
keep it as good as possible.
Yes. Thank you.
And we have a newsletter at the front page of healthfulliving.org. There's a click there. You can read the newsletter that we put together about the LBAM issue. It'll give you a lot of the synopsis of the bullet points about the fact that it is not safe, it is not effective, and it is absolutely not necessary, and everybody should know about this subject. The reason we're covering it so much here is because it's at the absolute core of Reality Sandwich and Healthful Living, and something that touches each and every one of us, which is the notion of freedom. personal freedom, health freedom, freedom in all aspects of our lives. And I also want to just announce that Julie Matthews, my partner and nutrition consultant here, is having an excellent class for each and every one of us who is learning more and more about how to cook healthfully. Cooking to Heal is the name of the class. It's going to be on June 22nd over in Berkeley at the Bowman College Culinary School. Outstanding group of people that are coming together. Anybody who's applying a special diet, whether it be for autism or digestive disorders or what have you, should check out cookingtoheal.org for the information on that class. Any last announcements, Julie?
No, I just wanted to let anybody, digestive disorders, autism, autoimmune conditions, anything like that are really great. We're going to be talking about a lot of great principles to support those people.
Great. You have been listening to Reality Sandwich Radio here on 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. You can hear this show and any past show at realitysandwichradio.com. We'll be back next Thursday at noon. Thanks for listening. Remember, all change begins with you. Yes, yes. Not the dreadlocks, Zion.